This is the CBS World News Roundup.
There's a lot of people screaming and a lot of people dragging people out.
A train crash in London at the height of morning rush hour has left at least 8 people dead.
A huge deal in the telecommunications industry. What does that mean for consumers? I'm Betsy Koretnik.
Flu season starting early. I'm Dan Ravee.
The Mets are in.
Elated. I'm thankful. It's wonderful.
New York manager Bobby Valentine after his team scrapped its way into the National League playoffs. Good morning, I'm Nick Young. A nightmarish scene near London's Paddington Station at the height of the morning rush hour.
I just couldn't believe this was happening to me. It's like, oh my God. And then it was, please don't let me die.
Stuart Allen aboard one of two commuter trains which collided, killing at least 8 people. Megan Lindsay Bush made it out alive.
There was mass panic as soon as the train stopped because there seemed to be more than one bump. When it was over, everyone scrambled to the door. There was a big crush at the door.
Let's go live to the scene and CBS News reporter Pamela McCall.
Severe burns, head, chest, and spinal injuries. The description given of the 124 people injured. The death toll could rise, but rescuers searching charred remains. British trains don't keep passenger figures. No one knows how many people were on board and how many bodies could still be inside. Train officials say they don't know what went wrong.
This is a bug that is already starting to bite. CBS News correspondent Dan Ravive joins us live with a look at the onset of what could be a nasty flu season.
What's noteworthy is that the season's starting early. As usual, flu first detected in Alaska, then carried by passengers on cruise ships. So at least 4 cases have sprung up in Colorado about 4 weeks early, according to researchers there. The best protection, an injection. The Centers for Disease Control estimating as many as 1 in 5 Americans will get flu this year, and perhaps 20,000 will die, strongly recommends getting a shot. The vaccine was distributed early to be ready. Live in Washington, Dan Ravive, CBS News.
In the world of big corporate marriages, this is the king of them all. MCI WorldCom acquiring Sprint in a sweetened deal worth $129 billion. Betsy Koretnik of CBS Market Watch joins us. Betsy, what's the immediate impact to consumers?
Well, near term, maybe not so much. Sprint customers might have to write a check to MCI WorldCom, but longer term, consumers may see more bundled services. That's where your internet, long distance bill, maybe cable and phone, all come from one company.
Any roadblocks to this deal?
Well, we are going to watch regulators closely. Apparently, FCC Chairman William Kennard said this morning that MCI WorldCom and Sprint have a, quote, heavy burden to show the deal is good for consumers. So we will be watching that one.
Checking the stocks in the early going, MCI is down a half, Sprint up 1 5/8. Investors will be keeping one eye on Washington this afternoon when Federal Reserve policymakers announce a decision on boosting interest rates. CBS MarketWatch chief economist Erwin Kellner believes they'll stop short of a hike.
They're not likely to change interest rates. But on the other hand, I think there's a good chance that they'll issue a warning in the form of a change in the bias from neutral to tightening.
The index of leading economic indicators fell in August after 3 straight months of gain, that according to the conference board. New York Mets fans can sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game one more time.
Here's the pitch. Swung, lined hard, caught, the game is over. The Mets win it. They're on their way to Arizona.
Bob Murphy of WFAN Radio at the mic as the Mets capped a 5-0 shutout of the Cincinnati Reds to win the National League wild card and move into the first round of the playoffs against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Mets struggled back from the brink of elimination. Pitcher Al Leiter supplied the heroics with a 2-hitter.
We always believed that this was the type of team we'd be.
An emotional manager, Bobby Valentine, was awed.
This has been a team all year that has done nothing for me but made me proud, and I know made our fans proud.
Catcher Mike Piazza says now the Mets are a pretty loose bunch.
We have an attitude now like, you know, from here on out, everything's icing on the cake, and hopefully we're playing now with nothing to lose, and we can continue this good streak.
It's 4 minutes past the hour. The Supreme Court is poised to get into the campaign finance reform fray by deciding how far the states can go in capping contributions. Let's get the details in this live report from CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
At a pivotal time in the national debate over campaign finance reform, the court is considering whether contribution limits hamper free speech, as opponents claim.
The First Amendment begins with the words, Congress shall make no law.
Paul Jacob of U.S. Term Limits.
Our founders were afraid of politicians regulating the political process.
Nonsense, replies Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon.
I don't think that when the framers of the Constitution drafted it, they thought that the First Amendment dealt with bank accounts.
His state spending limits are the focus of today's
Kennedy's case.
We feel very strong in the heartland about the need to control spiraling campaign contributions.
Similar laws in more than 30 other states also are threatened. Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
President Clinton is determined to win ratification of the nuclear test ban treaty, even though the numbers in the Senate stack up against him. Let's get more live in this report from CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Winning approval of that treaty is one of the president's major foreign policy challenges. He concedes he faces an uphill battle in the Senate. Opponents insist the pact can't be verified. Mr. Clinton contends rejection of the treaty could encourage the spread of nuclear weapons.
We would be giving a green light to all these other people.
Mr. Clinton will make that argument to undecided senators, and he'll use a Pentagon appearance today to press for ratification. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
One governor is earning the wrath of the Clinton administration over his stand on drugs. CBS News correspondent Howard Ehrenstein has details.
New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson wants to see drugs legalized, but their sales strictly controlled and penalties increased for such offenses as driving under the influence.
By legalizing drugs, there's a strong argument that you could actually see level or reduced drug use under a legalized scenario.
But the head of the White House Drug Control Policy Office, General Barry McCaffrey, says the governor is dead wrong.
This is a preposterously irresponsible line of argument to put out in public.
Governor Johnson insists McCaffrey's drug war, though, is clearly a big failure. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The price of a college degree keeps going up, though, as CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano reports, at a slower rate than in recent years.
Nationally, two-thirds of high school seniors are going to pursue college, but they'll find costs have climbed 3.5% to 5%.
I don't foresee the amount of students going to college is going to drop off.
Instead, says Nick Amato, an exec with the Guidance Directors Association, these kids and their parents will try different avenues.
A lot of students will be taking a look at staying home and going to school. Or community colleges.
And probably borrowing the money to do it. Loans now represent 58% of all financial aid.
There's been another radiation leak at a nuclear power plant. At least 22 people exposed to radiation in South Korea. It's 8 past the hour. An appeal to the Attorney General. Vonda and Michael Scholes, whose son Isaiah was among the 15 people killed in the Columbine High School shooting spree, are asking Janet Reno to launch a federal investigation into the massacre. A group of friends and relatives of those killed in the Littleton shootings last spring have taken the school district to court in a dispute over commemorative wall tiles which contain religious symbols. CBS News reporter Lee Frank has the story.
Columbine students and parents were invited to paint designs on 4-inch square tiles to decorate the refurbished halls of the school. But some tiles with religious messages or symbols, such as the cross, were rejected by the school district, concerned about separation of church and state. Now a conservative group representing relatives of two Columbine victims wants a federal judge to force the school district to display ceramic tiles with Christian themes. Lee Frank, CBS News, Denver.
And that's the World News Roundup.